the status of ethnic diversity on FTSE boards. It is 5 years since the publication of the first report into ethnic diversity of UK boards by Sir John Parker and the Parker Review Steering Committee. Over the last 5 years, we have seen a sea change within listed companies with regards to diversity and inclusion. It is a huge success that the target of 1 by 2021 on FTSE 100 boards has almost been achieved. Today, 94 of the FTSE 100 companies have met the target. While much has been achieved, there can be no ground for complacency, and it is clear that more needs to happen. I'm delighted to talk with David Taylor, who has recently taken over to oversee the Parker Review from Sir John Parker. Welcome to the Better Boards podcast series. I'm Dr. Sabine Demkowski, founder and managing partner of Better Boards. We make the boards of the most ambitious organizations more effective. Our mission at Better Boards is to contribute to creating better boards. We do this by providing clients with an evidence-based approach for board evaluations and board development programs. We have created an innovative board evaluation platform clients can access and use as part of a fully facilitated board evaluation or their internal evaluation. Large professional service organizations are welcome to use our platform. To fulfill our mission, we give a voice to all who care about creating better boards. David, thank you so much for contributing to the Better Boards podcast series.
Well, you're welcome. It's nice to be here.
David, I mean, you had an extraordinary executive career and really a fine portfolio of board appointments. What motivated you to accept the appointment and take over from Sir John Parker?
Well, you're very kind about my background, but look, I've had an interesting and enjoyable career. And in fact, I joined this review when it was started by BEIS, the Government Business Department in the UK, in 2015. At that time, I was the chair of Sainsbury's, a big retailer in the UK, as people will know. And I was very active then in inclusion and diversity matters at Sainsbury's. Sainsbury's is one of the UK's very largest employers. It has about or nearly 200,000 colleagues all over the UK, a few outside too. So it was key to the successful culture at Sainsbury's to create a very inclusive environment where everybody could thrive. And so when I was given the invitation to participate in the review under John Parker and to be his co-chair, I was very happy to accept it. And I'm honoured now to be asked to continue his work post his retirement. But, you know, I guess, Sabine, maybe your question is a little bit about my underlying motivation in this area. And this really probably goes back to the 5 years of my childhood when I lived in Singapore and in Hong Kong. And during that period, of course, became totally comfortable with living with people with different traditions and with different coloured skin. It was just something that was natural for me because of that. And then later on, living in the UK in my teens and beyond, frankly, I was sickened by the attitudes of some white people, of course, only a few, but some with unthinking prejudice about Black people or Asian people. And so this has always been an issue I've been very concerned about as an adult.
It's always interesting to see the person behind the role. Yeah, and thank you for sharing this.
You're welcome.
So quite some achievements there since the start of the review. What are, in your view, the major achievements since the first publication of the Parker Review in 2017?
We've made good progress, but we're by no means complacent. But let's look at the numbers, first of all. In the FTSE 100, the largest by market cap, the largest 100 companies by market capitalization in the UK stock market, 47% of those 100 companies had at least one person from an ethnic minority on their board in 2016 when we first looked at the numbers. That 47% now become 94%. So it's doubled, which is very encouraging. And effectively, nearly every large UK listed company, therefore, has got ethnic minority members on its board. In fact, 16% of all director positions in the FTSE 100 are inhabited by people from ethnic minorities. And that was 8% back in 2017. So that's doubled as well. So there's been a big change. In the FTSE 250, we haven't got figures that go back as far as 2016. But over the last couple of years, it's moved forward very significantly. The FTSE 250 target is at the end of 2024 to have at least one person from an ethnic minority on the board. So there's another best part of 3 years to go, as I talk to you now. And at this point, 55% of FTSE 250 companies have got at least one person from an ethnic minority. And in fact, 10% of all positions on FTSE 250 boards have somebody from an ethnic minority on them. So look, we've made very significant progress. And I think behind that, what's important is the mindset's changed. Sure, I believe our targets have helped, but other things have helped too. I mean, boards now, to a much greater extent than they did, largely accept the benefits of diversity around the board table. And indeed, they want to show to their own people, their own employees, and indeed outsiders, that people from ethnic minorities can succeed in their companies, because it makes a difference in terms of recruitment and keeping people in the company motivated, if that's the case. And look, I hope that non-listed companies and indeed people from other organisations are seeing these changes in the listed company arena and moving in the same direction. And, you know, I hope that listed companies can be a bit of a beacon for many other organisations. And that was probably one of the ideas in the heads of the government back in 2015 when the Park Review was set up.
In the update of the review, which was just published, you acknowledged, of course, the progress that has been made. And we always talked about this one director from a minority ethnic group. Yeah. But you also pointed out that it doesn't solve the issue of diversity within the organizations or more broadly in the business world as a whole. What needs to happen? Could you maybe highlight the top five things that, in your view, need to happen now?
Well, there's lots of things that need to be done. And some of the most successful organizations, or many of them, are doing many of these things. But if I wanted to list five items, let's say my first would always be something which might seem a bit prosaic, but is that companies need the data as a first step. Mm. Best thing is to ensure that employees self-declare their own ethnicity. They need to choose the ONS ethnic group, the Office of National Statistics ethnic group, to which they consider they belong. Tick a box. And once you've got that as a company, you can then monitor what percentage of any particular group of people in your company come from an ethnic minority, say those at executive committee level or executive committee level minus one or whatever. The difficulty is, without this data, it's impossible really to measure your position and your progress. It's impossible to understand who is leaving, who's progressing well in the company, and why. Without the data, you know, it all can become a little bit too anecdotal, if you like, rather than analytical. So I think that's the first point I would make. Get the data, because then you can do something about it. Secondly, I would advise company to set targets for minority ethnic participation, not just at board level, which we focused on above all at the Barker Review, but exco level minus one, perhaps exco minus two, or whatever suitable for your particular company. And I'd encourage people in companies, once they set these targets, to tell their investors and other interested parties what they are and report on them on a regular basis, perhaps annually. So that would be a second thing, to show the direction you're going. But if you like, if I come to a third point out of your five, the heart of what I think companies need to do is this, which is to create, if they don't already have it, an inclusive culture throughout the organization. One where everybody feels safe, secure, and valued. One where everybody experiences fair and happy working conditions from the bottom of the organization to the top. And where everybody has the opportunity to achieve their potential, irrespective of their ethnic background. You know, companies with this culture should and do take great care in creating opportunities for people from ethnic minorities in the recruitment process at the beginning, in succession planning once they're in the company, in training, in development, and so on. I mean, right through the talent management process, thinking about people from minority and diverse groups. You know, please use, will be always my advice, lots of well-known techniques, you know, to reinvent anything to help that talent pipeline, mentoring people from ethnic minorities, coaching them, sponsoring shadow boards and so on. So having that inclusive culture would be my third point. This is a long answer, I'm afraid, but I'm almost at fourth because you asked me for five. I would say make it clear in the company that you will not put up with what are termed by me and others the microaggressions that we can see in society and some organizations. You know, ignoring people from a different ethnicity, not looking them in the eye, interrupting them, going on what can be hurtful banter. So good companies really shouldn't tolerate any of this, and they should come down on it hard. It's something that I've certainly been involved with myself in the past, because from those little things, big issues can arise. And then finally, you'll be pleased, I'm coming to my end. To be successful, I think top management have got to be seen to be driving this program forward. You know, if the chief executive, if the chair are not seen to be putting their shoulder to this wheel, others won't join the program with as much enthusiasm as they always will. So get the tone from the top set in the right way. That's key. So there you are. Sorry, a long answer.
No, I think that's really, really helpful for our listeners. Thank you so much, sure. David. And we all know that diversity is a measure. Talked a lot about the measures, and inclusion is much more of a skill. And frankly, when I do these board evaluations, I even women still talk about that they don't feel included. I remember someone with an ethnic diversity background, he didn't feel included on the FTSE 100 board. What have you seen working? What have organizations done to generally include directors with an ethnic diverse background on boards?
Well, first, if that last point was about the recruiting people, I mean, I would say, you know, if you come across somebody, if you're on a board from an ethnic minority, someone who's, you know, you might have come across internally within the company or externally in the rest of your life, if you come across somebody and you're impressed with them, you know, note down the name, include them in a long list at the right time, add those names to what may be coming from your headhunters. Obviously, the headhunters these days would expect you to ask to put diverse candidates on their shortlists, and they're generally quite good at that. So it starts even before recruitment. Be alive to the sort of people you might want, and have a process of bringing them onto the shortlist and then through. Of course, they're not going to succeed in every potential recruitment, of course not, but making sure there's a good balance of those people. You know, when you bring somebody on the board, you really do need, whether this is someone from an ethnic minority or, you know, any particular background, you do really need to make sure that they're welcome, you know, to go through a really good induction process, which should include the opportunity of having one-to-one introductions and time with everybody else on the board. As I say, one-to-one, it's really important to establish that relationship with everybody. And I would certainly say to directors who are white, like myself, really try and establish good personal relationships with your new colleagues. You know, ask them about their experiences earlier in their lives and in their career, and how their ethnicity affected their progress. Be open about it, and they'll probably like to have a conversation with you about that, and then continue to have the ability to refer to that aspect of their lives in the future in your informal conversations with them. So make them feel welcome, if you like. And, you know, for ethnic minority directors as well, sometimes, occasionally, this is really quite rare, they can be seen as a little bit of a one issue person if they're continually focused on their background. Of course, it's relevant some of the time, and they should speak up about those things. But the key thing is for them to integrate themselves in being a helpful, productive member of the board, focusing on the relevant business issues that engage them and engaging the board, and being involved in every debate. So it is important. And as a chair in particular, I think one needs to be very careful, especially in the early months, the first year, say, when a new member of the board is joining, especially if he or she comes from an ethnic minority.
You said something really interesting there. I've seen boards, you know, they try to treat someone with an ethnic minority background as everyone else, and they almost avoid to talk about it or to acknowledge it in any sense. And as you just said, well, actually talk about it, talk openly about it.
Yeah, I mean, that would certainly be my approach. I mean, when I was at Sainsbury's, if I met somebody on the shop floor, and of course, plenty of shop floors in Sainsbury's, who came from an ethnic minority, I would try and engage them a bit and tell them, you know, tell me a bit about your background. Tell me a bit about how your life has been affected because you come from a minority, and have you experienced prejudice, I might say, if I got into a good conversation. I think at any level, whether it's on the shop floor, you know, or right at the top of the organization with an organization, people will be happy to talk about their background and will feel more engaged and more included if you do talk about that topic, rather than feel it's not something you can discuss.
No, that's very, very helpful. So coming to the end of it, what are the top three things our listeners should really take away from this podcast?
Well, my argument about diversity is that companies with significant diversity right through the organization, not just at board level, are likely to be more successful and more profitable than those without, because they'll have a wider debate, a more informed debate. There'll be less potential for groupthink and so on. And on the whole, studies are suggesting that's the case when they're comparing one company with another. So I think that's really important. This is good for the company, good for the shareholders to have that diversity. And that's not just for ethnic minorities, that's for, you know, gender and for many other aspects of diversity. You know, secondly, if you do this, your company, therefore, in a sense, reflects the society in which we live better. And I think, you know, one will feel comfortable about contributing effectively to an environment of fairness and justice, which I think is an important thing for companies to feel. You know, we're not just about making profit. We're trying to be good contributors to society as a whole. And indeed, you know, in this issue, I think companies can contribute overall to the cohesiveness of broader society, because it can demonstrate that anyone can succeed if they have people in these positions of influence in society. If people can see that there are people who look like themselves on company boards, they feel that therefore there's a reason to be engaged in society rather than throwing rocks in to society from afar, from outside, if you like. It'll encourage them to participate. And by that, it'll enhance the competitiveness of our economy and, I believe, create more cohesiveness, as I've said. So those are some of the broad reasons that I'm engaged with this, and I welcome everybody else who would move in this same direction.
Fantastic, David. David, thank you so much for contributing to the Better Boards podcast series.
Well, thank you. You're very welcome, and good luck with it.
How can we help you and your board? We at Better Boards are always delighted to hear from you. You can best reach us at info@better-boards.com. Thank you for listening.